Welcome to the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Kennedy, and I'm here to help you become the very best version of yourself. What's up, guys? Welcome back to this week's episode of the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast. A big thank you for joining me today. I really do appreciate your time and your attention. If this is your first time listening to the show, welcome. Go back through and check out some of the older episodes. If you're a weekly listener, then I do appreciate your support. More than you know. We are very lucky today to be joined by the founders of Slyletica, Simon and Yedda Rawadi. They have a lot of value to offer. I was lucky enough to join them for a chat the other week on their Instagram and really enjoyed it. And after that, I just wanted to get them on the show, and they definitely produce the goods. So I would love for you to go and check out their brand, go to their website, suss out Slyletica and all the amazing work that they're doing. But before you do that, please listen to today's show, and we'd love to hear your feedback. So if you get some value from the episode, please do take a screenshot of today's show and post it up on your Instagram story for me. We would all love to hear your feedback. And if you've got any questions, of course, feel free to send them through. And a big thanks to Simon and Yedda for joining me on the show today. So I hope you enjoy this episode. Sit back, relax, and take some notes as well, because there's a lot of value that you can take away from today's show. It's not value for those that are running, you know, any type of apparel businesses or anything along those lines, or even don't even need to be running a fitness business. There's just lots of tips that you can take away to add to your own arsenal, to build your own business, or just to become as successful as possible in whatever field that you currently work in. So enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening. All right, guys, welcome to the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast. It's a pleasure to have you on.
Mate, thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us, yeah.
Not a problem at all. Like we were just talking before I hit record that we had a bit of a chat the other week on Instagram Live. And the feedback was good. Like, I really enjoyed the chat. We've had some serious trouble with technical difficulties on both ends so far whenever we've tried to do anything. But today, I think we're good to go. So, again, firstly, thanks for coming on the show. And I wanted to start today's episode off with you guys telling a bit of my audience a bit about what you guys do with Slyletica.
Yeah, mate. So we're, in a nutshell, we help create and manage fashion brands. So specifically online businesses, but we do have some retailers as well that work with us. And essentially we're in the athleisure space. So we specialize in swimwear, activewear, you know, gymwear, sportswear, whatever you want to call it. It's quite a big umbrella. We have an end-to-end service, man. So we help people who have an idea essentially bring it to life. We do the sampling, the design, the manufacturing, all the marketing, website, order fulfillment, anything you can think of that it requires to start and launch and grow and scale an activewear or athleisure brand is what we do.
Awesome. And where did that whole journey start with you guys? Something that I love to talk about with guests on the show, regardless of what field they kind of come from, is where it all started, because people tend to see, and I think this is a recurring theme, people look at other Instagrams or they look at their website or they listen to interviews like this and they go, oh fuck, how good would it be to be in that position? But they don't see everything that's happened before, or even like the small efforts that are done still to this day to get to where you guys are, the position you're in at the moment. So where did it all start, and what was kind of, I guess, the purpose or the why that you guys figured out as to get to where you are now?
So we, Simon and I both had full-time jobs before we started this. I was in software development, and Simon was a sales manager for
property development
firm.
Yeah.
And we decided to, you know, do what we probably shouldn't have done and quit our 9-to-5 and start our own clothing line. Mm-hmm. And we had so many challenges along the way, from, you know, being really stuffed around it with China, having major production issues, you know, not having like a cohesive process where basically our designers wouldn't be able to, like, we'd have someone helping with the actual technical drawings and then China wouldn't understand it, and it just got so complicated.
Yep.
So we basically, during that time, we also, we were like showing, we were having our clothes basically displayed at some gyms.
We were trying to sell it
like, and get exposure basically. So we were doing like open days and things like that.
Kind of like and, public store style things.
Yeah.
We used to do a lot of public stores inside gym facilities.
So like on a Saturday when they were doing like big boot camps and things like that. So me and Simon would come down on a Saturday morning and set up like table. A trestle table.
And have like our little display of clothing that we'd made and try and make a lot of sales just on that day. Because, this was probably about 8 years ago and Facebook was pretty big.
Yeah, before Instagram probably.
But Instagram hadn't really taken off yet, and online shopping, people
were questionable
50-50 as to whether you're ever going to get the good. So long story short, we really tried to build and we had different sales strategies, and one of our strategies was to sell at gym stores, in gym locations. And then one of the gyms approached us and asked us if they could put their logo
On our clothing and sell it to their members. And at first we didn't really want to do that because it was kind of, it's our brand and we really were proud of it. And then we were like, okay, cool, maybe let's give it a go. And we actually started having a lot of people come to us saying like, oh, well, can we put this on your top? Can we put this on your top? And then we realized that everyone was having the exact same challenge. No one could really get good athletic wear made for them at a low MOQ, at a reasonable cost and good quality and out of China. So we were like, we're having the same problem. Everyone's having the same problem. Why don't we just start helping everyone? Because by this stage, we'd already ironed out all of our kinks. We've gotten some incredible leggings after like years of research, trial, error and everything. So we just started helping people. And I think we went from like, no clients to
it was crazy. So once we decided to make the decision to basically shift from having a retail model, even though we still had our own online business, to assisting others in creating something similar, we went from like basically making $2,000 a month to doing $20,000 a month quickly. I think that was June, July 2015. By September 2015, we had something like 50 to 70 new brands on board. Or new gym locations, I should say. We've gone through a ton of pivots and ton of different improvements. We now, as of today, work with about 250 labels in 12 different countries. I think collectively our brands did over $20 million in revenue in this last financial year. And it's just been insane. It's been a long journey, but we've got lots of learning curves
along the way, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Look, there's a ton of different questions that I've got to ask out of that. But the first one is, even inside the health and fitness industry, and now I get a lot of trainers coming to me asking me like what my process was to get to where my business is now, like advice that I would give them if they want to go into online coaching and all that type of stuff. And I feel as though it correlates across different businesses as well. And the question I had for you guys is, how important was it for you to make that decision to really decide on what your niche market was, or to decide on, going all in with helping other brands build up their businesses instead of just kind of focus on your own thing? I think where people get stuck is they've got all these brilliant ideas and they try and do it all at once and they don't go all in on any of it. And you kind of not even the jack of all trades. You just kind of become in the middle of all of it and you don't really get anywhere. But I personally found with my business, when I decided exactly who I wanted to target, that's when everything started to expand a lot quicker. So was that a tough decision for you guys to make? And also, how important do you think it is?
Yeah, so we, I think in the beginning, we probably went through the exact same problem where we were like, okay, cool, we're going to do this and we're going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do, and it was just like,
we had everything.
Everything, yeah, everywhere.
Like I had like a sales coaching thing because we left our jobs, right? So we had no money. And so and I had a sales background. So I was like, hey, I can help people, doing sales coaching. So I started that. I got a part-time or like temporary job.
We both had like part-time jobs in retail when we first started.
Yeah, I think it was at Harvey Norman selling vacuum cleaners or something.
Yes, it was just, we were doing everything.
I might get some advice off you at the end, actually.
It was just, yeah. So I think we eventually, it took us a few months, and then we were like, okay, cool. This is who our market is. This is who we're looking after. And that's the only client that we're going to look after. And we really refined our process to look after them. But then we had like an inquiry from a really large profile.
We had an inquiry from an influencer. So to answer your question, we were a bit like, hey, this is what we want to do. And we thought that's our idea. That's why we kept saying no to people putting their logos on our clothing. But when we kind of moved our own plans aside and started listening to what our customers were asking us for, that's what allowed us to make the shifts that we needed to actually get to where we are. But we wanted to make sure it was stayed in line with the people that we love to work with. So we had this like internal guideline between me and Yetta, and it was like we would only work with people that we would go to lunch, or go to dinner with, or have a protein shake with, something like that, because we're in the gym industry. So we had this guideline that helped us make decisions. So we kind of grew really quickly with that in mind, because it was not just who we said yes to, it was also who we said no to. And we kept refining it. So we were saying yes to a whole bunch of sort of gym facilities. And then at one point we were like, hold on, we had an inquiry from a huge influencer, and we really realized, I guess, that our strength was going to be for larger businesses, larger brands, people with a bit more capital, because we were custom making clothing from scratch. So, there's lots of improvements, to speak, that you have to keep doing, and it's really about listening to the people.
I think we went through some kind of like points where we had to stop elements of our business or stop servicing certain parts of our business with certain clients, to allow us to actually develop into the label the company that we are today. Mm. But we kind of always kept those customers in mind as we grew, because they were actually the core of why we started.
Yep.
But what our business evolved into wasn't probably the best one to service them. So we almost like we now have a product that we've finally been able to come up with that can service them as well.
Yeah.
But it was a full focus on the expansion and getting the client that we are best suited for. And then we've kind of gone back now and made a service for the people that we almost started this business for.
Yeah, that's right.
I think that's a really important part of that whole process of figuring out exactly who you're going to target is, as you've said, being able to say no and understand who you need to say no to. Because even with my business at the moment, like one of the biggest changes I made was, you know, when I first started even just personal training, so like online coaching aside, just PT in person, I would say yes to anyone and everyone, and I would do whatever time they wanted to do, wherever they wanted to do it, because I wanted to get busier and because I wanted to grow my clientele base. And then even now with online coaching, once you make that decision of exactly who you do and don't want to work with, it's so important, because you know, there's a heap of opportunities that come through and they kind of look really good, but then you think about it and you put a bit more thought to it and you go, well, all right, if I'm going to do this, it's going to take away from what I'm trying to do over here. So there are some things where you've got to go, you know, it sounds really good, but maybe just not at the moment because it's taken away from where I want to be. And ultimately, it's going to come back to you in bigger and better ways by saying no to those smaller things
that
may not be aligned with what you're after in the first place.
And lets you specialize in things as well. You kind of start to build a reputation and a brand for yourself within that space of the people that you're saying yes to.
Mm.
And, you know, it lets you kind of specialize and continue to grow in that area.
Yeah. Now, along the way, have you had any, you know, again, this kind of goes back to that first part I talked about where everyone sees all the wins and sees all the, all how well everyone's doing. Have you guys had some big losses along the way that have really taught you a lot?
I feel like we'd have to do like a podcast just dedicated to
our challenges
of Slyletica.
So you know, we've probably been through it all from you know, receiving a cease and desist because we didn't trademark our original name properly, so we had to rebrand and change our business name, all the way through to suppliers in China blackmailing us. We've probably lost, without exaggeration, about $1 million worth of our own cash. because one of the things that we really pride ourselves on is that we would keep our customers safe. So whenever something shady happens over in China, we would at the very least make sure our customers don't lose money and give them their money back, even though we may have already paid our suppliers. So, you know, we opened an 870 square meter warehouse in China that ended up being, our staff rocked up one day. We got a photo of the front door being completely chained and locked, basically with all of our stock inside. So we got this photo and they're like, hey, we don't know what's going on. We then kind of shortly got a message on WhatsApp from one of our employees here in Australia that was basically managing our Chinese facility, saying that I've locked all your stock and good luck. So that was, you know, yeah, that was,
and have a good day.
And have a good day. Unless, you know, that was straight up blackmail for cash from us. And, you know, we went through the courts and that, and to, you know, to be honest with you, that almost killed us, because we had, you know, about $450,000 worth of our client stock in there. We had to have those conversations with the client.
It was something that happened once we'd already gotten quite big. So yeah. We had some decent clients in there and kind of all their stock as well. And yeah, it was.
And you know, that's just crazy. One example. And we've actually, because we deal with international a lot, you know, we were in Bangladesh at some point. And you know, for those people who are listening, if you Google, they have this festival where they sacrifice animals, which sounds really weird, but it's true. And anyway, they were doing that. They had heavy rains and basically the streets flooded with blood. And so nobody could, obviously, you can imagine, you know, you're not going to transport goods in that sort of environment. Everything's shut down. This is a few years ago. Couldn't get goods out of the country. And we, you know, this is a factory that's accredited, you know, working with some of the largest retailers in the world. So we're not talking, you know, old mate up the road. We're talking proper factory. So there's only so much you can do to mitigate what's going on, especially when you're going with international. So it always comes back to your mindset, right? And transparency. So we've got a big sticker on our wall in the office that says transparency is one of our business values. So whenever these things happen, we've contacted our customers, been transparent as possible with them, been honest with them, and then kind of looked at internally what can we do to make sure it doesn't happen again, and almost turn all of those negative experiences that we've had into a positive somehow, whether it's a better relationship with the client or better systems, better improvements, better suppliers. We've had so many challenges, mate. We could talk about it day in, day out.
You just touched on, there's a really good quality to have, though. Like, you know, it's not even just evidence, but being able to be transparent when either things go wrong or whether you don't know an answer to a client's question or whatever it is actually just being able to say, yeah, look, I don't know, or look, this is exactly what's going on, but you got, like, have the confidence, the fact that I'm going to figure it out and we'll stay in touch and figure it all out. And people appreciate that too, because there's so many people doing the exact opposite, just bullshitting their way through.
Yeah,
and eventually it's going to come back and bite you in the ass and ruin that relationship in the first place. You mentioned earlier about having to make a ton of different pivots in your business so far. Obviously, one which everybody can relate to at the moment is COVID-19 and the whole coronavirus thing. So how has that affected you guys, and what measures have you taken to make sure the business still pushes along nicely and that you're in a good position once this all kind of clears up?
Actually, pretty interestingly, we've been set up since for the last few years to be able to manage and run our business, you know,
remotely.
And that's mainly because we have a lot of international customers. So although we have our head office here in Melbourne, our team are very much accustomed to working, you know, off a screen, basically from a laptop. Everybody already had laptops. So we obviously, like everybody else, had some pain early on, particularly when there was the shock of COVID came through. So for us, March was a very difficult month, particularly towards the end of March. But being in the online space, what we found was once
the shock wore off,
yeah,
and people were kind of like, okay, cool, this is happening, we're okay, you know, we're getting through this.
Yeah, basically April and May for ourselves and for our businesses have been some of the biggest months on record. So, you know, some of our brands that we look after, they've sold out completely throughout the month of April.
Any drops they've done. Yeah. Pretty much all our, like, most of our clients who have launched any product or collections in the months of April and May have
sold out,
found themselves selling out completely, yeah, like within a really short space, some in minutes, literally.
Yeah, yeah. And so some of our, like, definitely our influencer clients across the board have all seen a significant increase in sales.
Yeah.
We have a partnership with a fulfillment center owned by Australia Post, and we, you know, we spoke to them. They saw a 489% increase in satchels coming out of that fulfillment center. So online just went through the roof, and we're in the athleisure space. So similar to yourself, everybody shifted to home workouts. Well, you know, it's quite hard to stay motivated when you're working out at home. You don't have your mates and all that sort of stuff working out with you. So, you know, people don't really understand, but online shopping and buying something for yourself has a psychological trigger of, you know, motivation and happiness. You know, it's why we buy stuff, so that we can be happy. And getting a satchel in the mail is awesome. So for our brands, we were in the right place, right time. Obviously, we had a little bit of hurt, but April and May completely shifted for us. And we actually then, you know, we had to hire for growth, because how do you adjust for growth that you don't plan for? You've got to chase your tail a little bit on that.
And regardless of whether this is for someone wanting to start their own athleisure brand or, you know, whatever business it is, what kind of advice or what tips can you give to those that have started to try and build something during this period at the moment, or maybe have just started before it all came about? Because, you know, I talk about this a lot with clients that I work with, you know, depending on what their business is, or I've been talking a lot lately about people that are in, even for example, like hospitality and stuff like that, who have really been hit by this. Mm-hmm. If you were starting a business either just before COVID kind of come about or during this whole period, what advice would you have for those people that are going through that at the moment?
I think you know, everyone's been affected in such a different way, so it's hard to give exact, like, advice, but I think that there is always something that you can do, whether it be advertising in that time or getting people really excited about something new that's going to be coming when you do reopen, if you're, for example, a restaurant, or, you know, preparing yourself for innovating in this time. And I think people who can't actually do anything and can't reopen in this period and can't do offline, for example, or online, sorry, for example, then this period, I think, is a really good time to research, to innovate, to grow, to develop, to refine, to make better systems, make a better environment, whatever, in whatever space you're doing. And I think, you know, when you do take a step back in this time and really reflect on everything that's going on, that you do start to find different ways of actually achieving what it is that you're trying to do. So whether it's a coffee shop that can make a pop-up window now that, you know, people can come and just get takeaways, because there were heaps actually in our area who weren't set up for that. So they just closed down. They wouldn't even do takeaways because they just weren't set up to do that. You know, you only go in, go to the back of the restaurant to order a coffee, which is just not something that people are doing now. So, you know, setting up something where people can just walk by and get a coffee or little bits and pieces, whether it's...
Course innovation for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Even in the fitness industry, I've spoken to people who own, you know, things like Pilates studios, where it's obviously hands-on. You have to be in there. You're on their reformer beds or whatever it is. And it's not even just Pilates, but now they've created this free online community where they're putting up, you know, virtual workouts a few days a week, and now they've got a community of thousands of people who probably weren't even part of their community before. So when doors open, it's easy for them to go, look, oh, you've given me this much value in the past 2 months for free. Of course, I'll come in and buy a membership, or of course we can run an online course now where I'm more than happy to pay because you've stuck with me while things have been kind of tough. And I think there's a lot of businesses that, although, you know, over the last 2 to 3 months or whatever, at the time, it's probably really hurt their business. In the long run, they'll be in a much better position in 12 to 24 months time.
It's really you know, my advice would be to just to keep going, because, you know, COVID, whether it's COVID or whether it's, you know, someone locking up your gates and blackmailing you, challenges are going to happen in your business. And just because we get through COVID, which we will, doesn't mean something's not going to come up around the corner or in a few years from now. So it's really about, you know, having that I'm going to keep going attitude. I'm not going to give up. And like you said, forcing innovation when you need to, because there is always a way to continue. You just got to, I guess, change that negative into a positive again and figure out the way. That obviously the answer to that varies depending on the industry you're in, but there's definitely something a lot 99% of people can continue to do.
Yeah, for sure. And you guys touched on it briefly already, but you know, one of the things I wanted to touch on before we do wrap up is, what are some of the things that you've put in place for, you know, is there things that you've worked on at the moment that you weren't doing before that you're going to roll out once this all kind of finishes up? Or I know you touched on a new part of the business that you kind of like, you've come back to some of the clients that you were unable to work with early days that you now can provide service to. So what does that look like for you guys?
So actually, right in the height of COVID, 1st of April, which also happens to be April Fool's, we launched a new brand and entire business altogether. We registered it, and it's called Supply by Sly. And it's really a call out to how we started our business, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, back to the clients, back to the original clients we were working with. And it came from listening to people who wanted to get online and start their own clothing brands, but do it super fast. So Slyletica is like a 6 to 9 month process. It's fully custom, you know, it's the Qantas, so to speak. Whereas Fly by Sly would be more like a Jetstar, super fast, get your product online. It's powered by Slyletica. So we're not talking about shitty products. Yeah. We're talking about high quality products that the high end brands are using, the really big labels that we work with are using.
Same fabric. So we still use the same fabric, same quality control, same engine as Slyletica, but like minus a few slow parts of our business that don't really need to be there for everyone.
And it just helped us put a product out to market that'll let people who really needed to pivot themselves during this time do that. So we can get product to market in about 45 days now, after it's been approved from samples, so which is super fast, you know, compared to 4 months on a typical run. So that's sort of our focus. That's really what's been born out of a few needs, again, by listening to our client base in the marketplace. And so that's what we're launching really soon. I want to say 15th of June, but I'm not sure my marketing team will be up at that date. So we'll see how we go. But essentially, we're going to be running Slyletica as well as Supply by Sly side by side at the same headquarters. And it's going to really be able to assist that entire spectrum of either savvy online entrepreneurs or influencer-led clothing brands, because we'll be able to build and get a product to market super fast for everyone.
That's awesome, guys. Is there any, so where can people kind of find a lot of your content, whether it's the website, any more information about this type of stuff? And obviously I'll put the links in the show notes so people can go straight to it, but where would you like to kind of direct people to go to?
Best way to follow our journey is on the Slyletica Instagram page. If you want to hop onto our website, it's www.slyletica.com. Or if you just want to chat, you know, shoot us an email, hello@slyletica.com. And our team and myself and Yetta would love to touch base with anybody who has any questions. Slide into our Slyletica DMs if you need to. We're quite available to answer anybody's questions, and look forward to meeting all the new people.
Awesome. Well, guys, I appreciate your time a lot, and it's been a really enjoyable chat again. Got a lot of value out of it, similar to the last time we spoke. So thanks so much for coming on. And for everybody who has tuned into today's episode, if you've taken some value from the show, which I'm sure you have, please do take a screenshot of today's show and post it up on your Instagram story and tag myself and tag these two lovely people. I'll have their Instagram handles in the show notes below. So thanks so much for tuning in, and look forward to chatting to you again soon. Thanks again, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.